Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone. Today we have an article about Charles Eisenstein's discussion with Oprah Winfrey, which was written for Share International magazine by Phyllis Power, one of our Share International co-workers. Charles is an author of 6 books on topics such as sacred economics and the ascent of humanity. He writes from a spiritual perspective and has a degree in mathematics and philosophy. This is followed by an article about Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalind actively working for Habitat for Humanity.
And we start with a quote from Benjamin Krem's master: as souls, we seek to give expression to the fundamental unity of our nature. Charles Eisenstein, whose writings have featured in Share International magazine, was recently asked to appear on the highly regarded and popular Oprah Winfrey Super Soul Sunday show in America. His response was an immediate yes, accompanied by feelings of wonderment that my world was intersecting with hers. You see, Oprah occupies nearly a different universe from my own countercultural fringe. Could it be, I think with leaping heart, that the gulf between our worlds is narrowing? That the ideas I serve and the consciousness I speak to are ready to penetrate the mainstream? In fact, it turned out that Oprah already seemed to be thinking along similar lines to Eisenstein and was very open to what he had to say.
Eisenstein was used to being on the fringe of mainstream thinking, although he hoped and believed that his message would one day resonate with the public and even help to change minds. In the meantime, he had become used to working slowly and in small ways in his writing. Following the failure of his first book, which he self-published because no one else would do so, he had a vision of a celestial visitor who presented him with a stark choice. The visitor said, "Charles, is it really your wish that the work you do fulfill its potential and exercise its right role in the evolution of all things?" And he replied, "Yes, that is my wish." "Okay then," said the being, "I can make that happen, but you will have to pay a price. The price is that you will never be recognized for your role. The story you are speaking will change the world, but you will never get credit for it. You will never get wealth, fame, or prestige. Do you agree to pay that price?" I tried to worm my way out of it, but the being was unyielding. If it was going to be either or, how could I live with myself knowing in my heart of hearts I'd betrayed my purpose? So I consented to its offer.
Eisenstein came to realize that small acts of compassion and love that might never be widely recognized were as valuable as his own attempts at large public work. Acts of kindness strengthen the field of kindness. Acts of love strengthen the field of love. Acts of hate strengthen the field of hate. Nor is scaling up necessary when we trust that the tasks life sets before us are part of a larger tapestry, woven by an intelligence that puts us in exactly the right place at the right time. Having achieved a necessary modesty in his ambition to bring about change and to be known for it, as he said, his ideas were not his own, he was simply a scribe. He nevertheless saw his invitation from Oprah Winfrey, whose programs reach millions, as a sign of a changing consciousness in the world. I sometimes see myself as a kind of receiving antenna for information that a certain segment of humanity is asking for. A use has been found for the weird kid in on a larger scale. Oprah is something akin to that as well. Not just herself, she is an avatar of the collective mind. Deeply attuned to her audience when she brings something into their view, it is probably because she knows they are ready to see it.
Ofra's first question to Eisenstein and his answer was telling. Has America broken open? Not yet, was his reply, but it is on the way to realizing that profound change is needed and will be seen to be inevitable. It will happen through collapse. Echoing Benjamin Krem and his master, and Eastern religious teaching in general, Eisenstein affirmed his sad belief that the world is suffering from the underlying grief of the wound of separation from all with which we are meant to be connected. This grief is expressing itself in anger and hate. As Benjamin Krem put it in his first book, titled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, the reality, as he experienced it in meditation, is that everything is connected. He said, I disappeared as a separate being, yet retained full consciousness, a consciousness expanded to include everything. I saw this was the true reality, that one's normal waking consciousness simply covers this, keeps it hidden through wrong identification with oneself as the body. As awareness of connectedness, as we move into the Aquarian age of synthesis, will be indeed extraordinarily far-reaching, permeating and totally changing all our lives and institutions.
As Benjamin Krem's master puts it, unity is strength, the essential nature of our being, the purpose to which all men strive and to which all men seek to give expression. And the sense of the awakening of that awareness comes out of powerfully in the Oprah Winfrey interview. Charles Eisenstein said, the next story for humanity will be what he calls interbeing, the realization that we are all one. In his follow-up essay, he writes, if I am right that my Oprah appearance is a marker, however small, of the unravelling of once dominant worldviews, then it only happened because the emerging worldview I speak for is being held so strongly now by so many. We will not be alone here much longer. I thank all who have held the field of knowledge I speak from, who believe my words even more than I do, and who therefore uphold me in the work that upholds you. This is how we transition from the age of separation to the age of we need each other. And you can check this out if you like on opera.com, the age of we need each other as well from charleseisenstein.net.
So next we have an article about Jimmy Carter and Habitat for Humanity, titled Building a Bright Future with Help. On the 9th of July 2017, two Share International co-workers based in Edmonton, Canada, Michael and Shireen Tales, were discussing how to get an interview with former US President Jimmy Carter, who was in Edmonton building houses with the charity Habitat for Humanity, with which the Carters had been working for 34 years. They emailed Habitat for Humanity that evening, requesting an interview while President Carter was in the city. Driving to work the following day, Michael and another Share International co-worker, Tim Betsky, joked about skipping work to go and find Jimmy Carter. They didn't, of course, and continued to their work site. During their morning break, they went to buy a coffee and, on their way back to the work site, took a wrong turn as they were unfamiliar with the neighbourhood. They drove for a few minutes down unfamiliar streets and suddenly ended up at a large construction site where they saw large Habitat for Humanity signs. They parked and put on their worksite equipment, standard procedure when entering any building site. At the entrance to the site, security guards allowed them in to their surprise. They made their way to where President Carter was working on a house, hoping to take a few photographs at least. While they pondered how to get close enough to ask him a question, standing right behind them was President Carter's press secretary, who introduced himself as Brian. Michael and Tim said they were volunteers for Share International and asked if they could attend the press conference, which was to take place soon. The press secretary responded that only press could attend, but that he would check.
Michael and Tim made their way to the press tent, and moments later, Brian appeared and confirmed they could stay, but that there was no guarantee they would be able to ask a question. The press conference took place with several speakers, including Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalind. Towards the end, several people, including Michael, raised their hands to ask a question. Although Michael and Tim were the only ones without a press badge, Michael was chosen to ask the last question, which all three co-workers had earlier decided on. And the question is, how do you feel about a universal basic income, and would it help every person and their family have a safe, decent, and affordable home? President Carter responded, I would certainly like to see everybody have an adequate income on which to live and survive. The Carter Center has programs in 80 countries in the world, and we travel a lot of our time in Ethiopia and other countries in Africa and Latin America, where sometimes their income is very low. For instance, we have built homes in South Africa, and we have done a lot of work in Liberia. We realized that the average person in Liberia only made 50 cents a day. And you can just think for a few minutes on how you would try to live on a dollar a day or $2 a day. It would be almost impossible, but those people survived. President Carter said it is easy to underestimate people who have been living in poverty, blaming their lack of hard work for their financial situation. But we have found throughout our Habitat experiences and also in our other work at the Carter Center that people we look upon sometimes as inferior are just as hardworking as I am and just as ambitious as I am, and their family values are just as good as mine. So it tends to equalize us with other people that we consider sometimes to be below us. But it doesn't do that by lowering us. It does it by elevating other people. Jimmy Carter was the 39th President of the United States. He will turn 93 in October 2017 and celebrated his 71st wedding anniversary with his wife Rosalind on 7 July 2017.
So we'd like to finish our program today with some inspiration from the Dalai Lama and Pope Francis. But firstly, we'll start with a short article by Jeremy Corbyn on social justice. Naomi Klein, journalist and author of the new book No Is Not Enough, interviewed UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn in London. The full interview was published in a paper called The Intercept in July of this year. When Klein asked Corbyn about the British Conservative Party trying to co-opt his policies to appeal to young voters, his immediate answer was, well, social justice isn't copyrighted, but it's a bigger picture than just the individual issues. The following is a selection of some of Corbyn's responses during the interview. The picture of the world is a crucial one. It is about what we do to deal with issues of injustice and inequality and poverty, and above all, hope and opportunity for young people. Hope that they can get to college or university, opportunity they can get a decent job. And it's also about the contribution we make to the rest of the world and the relationship we have with the rest of the world. I want a foreign policy based on human rights, based on respect for international law, recognising the causes of the refugee flows, the causes of the injustice around the world. Look around the crowd, look at each other. You're all different, you're all unique. You have different backgrounds, languages, different ethnic communities. But you're all united. You're united in what you actually want in the sense of a collective in society. And I think the election campaign was a turning point away from the supreme individualism of the right towards the idea that you're a better society when you have a collective good about it. Don't be discouraged. At the end of the day, human beings want to do things together, want to do things collectively. When people's minds are opened up, there is no end to the possibilities. So the source of that was the website theintercept.com.
And now we have an interview with the Dalai Lama on the oneness of humanity. And he was interviewed on the 3rd of August ahead of the Synergy Global Forum to be held in Russia in November this year. If our basic human nature were anger, there'd be no hope. But because it is largely compassionate, there is hope. Being concerned with the welfare of others is the basis of our survival. The reality is we need and are dependent on each other. So the time has come to work together. We need to take the oneness of humanity into account. Reality has changed, but our way of thinking, clinging to distinctions of us in them is still stuck in the patterns of the 20th century. And you can check that out on DalaiLama.com if you wish. And now we have the Dalai Lama continuing, and this time it's on education. And this was the interview took place on the 6th of August earlier this year. His Holiness commented on prospects for the world in the next 10 to 20 years. Modern education is too one-sided at present. It's too materialistic. We need to be able to teach people how to cultivate peace of mind. India is the country that has the potential to successfully combine such modern education with understanding drawn from ancient knowledge of the workings of the mind and emotions. It's a question of raising awareness. One of my commitments now is the revival of ancient Indian wisdom in this country.
Now, a short article about Pope Francis on the theme of eliminating hunger and malnutrition. On the 31st of July 2017, Pope Francis addressed the 40th General Conference of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO for short, in Rome, Italy, prior to his participation in World Food Day on the 16th of October 2017. The FAO must always be in a position to intervene when people do not have enough to eat, when a country is incapable of offering adequate responses because its degree of development, conditions of poverty, climate changes or situations of insecurity do not permit this, FAO and the other intergovernmental institutions need to be able to intervene specifically and undertake an adequate solidarity action. That was from the Vatican's website, radiovaticana.va.
And now we have a message from Maitreya. My brothers and sisters, happy I am to be among you once more and to reveal to you my intentions and plans. My dear friends, I'm about to appear among men in an altogether new and more potent guise. Many who see me wonder now, wonder in their hearts from whence I come. Many see in me their hopes and dreams fulfilled. My love penetrates their hearts, and joyfully they give me their allegiance. On a wider scale also will this be true, for when men see me as I am, they will love me and hearken to my words. Have no fear. Men will follow me for the love in their hearts for their brothers, for it is all for all men everywhere that I shall speak. Know me by the simplicity of my utterance. Know me by the love of my heart, by my deeds of succour, by my call to all men to share and live in peace. Know me thus, my friends, and give me your help. I need not only your faith, but your willingness to work for the unfoldment of God's plan. That holy plan shall I unfold for you, and together in love shall we see it fulfilled. My plan is to come before the world so quickly now that nothing which prevents your participation in this work should be allowed to hinder. Make it your primary task to acquaint your brothers and sisters throughout the world with the fact of my presence and create in them the joy you know. My task will be to speak as a mouthpiece for all men everywhere, to voice for them their hopes and desires for a better and saner life, for the reorganization of those structures which prevent the manifestation of the true divinity of man. That is my task, my dear friends, and that task lightly and gladly do I shoulder. With your help, it will be achieved. Good night, my dear friends. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within each and every one whose inner light I now see.
So thank you very much for listening in today. That is our program. If you would like to contact us, you are welcome to write to PO Box 34491 Birkenhead, Auckland, or check out the website share-international.org. Love and blessings to you all.